hands together and praise God for what He has done in this place today. Can we do that? Lord, we thank You. God, I praise You for Your presence. Hallelujah. God, I praise You because You are God alone. Hallelujah. If you have a need in your life today, you're in the right place where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, all other spirits have to depart. Amen. God doesn't share space with anyone or anything. Because when you serve the God, you're not trying to figure out which one to look for. You're not trying to look out, figure out which one do I need to talk to today. And when God fills you totally with His Spirit, then there's not room for anything else. Amen. There is such a thing as being full. Whatever a container will hold, that's all it'll hold. You can shake it, you can jiggle it, but that's all it's going to hold. And when we are full, then we don't have to worry about all the other stuff that was in there before. Amen. I still believe in deliverance. Amen. I still believe not only in deliverance, I believe in transformation. Not against anywhere anyone can get help. But at the end of the day, your help needs to be from Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, that is the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that can set you free. That is the only thing that can deliver you. Throughout the New Testament, you find transformation. They entered one way and left another way. They met Jesus in one condition and left in another condition. So if transformation is not in there somewhere, then we need to question what happened. Praise God. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. I felt very strongly in my spirit this message. I'm like any other preacher, hope that everything goes good. Preparation has been made, but at the end of the day, if the Spirit does not anoint and meet with us, then you've just heard, hopefully, some words that fit together. Maybe grammatically they made sense. Maybe the story made sense. But unless the anointing of the Holy Ghost gets involved, then that's all it's going to be, is just a good form fitted together, right? And it's not a whole lot different than any other motivational speech you could get. But there is something about the Word of God that even though you might have heard the story 1,000 times, on the 1,001st time it clicks. Amen. Preacher might have preached from the same text 3 or 4 times, but the 5th time there's something that happens that he wasn't expecting because the Spirit of God moved, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost moved, and I am praying that's where we are today, because I believe you don't have to be a prophet to look out over an audience and say there's probably somebody here with a need in their life. That does not take prophecy. That's just good common sense. Because there are people that are sick at Abundant Life Church today. There are people that need answers. There are people looking for direction. And God can provide that in a sermon or a message from His Word, because His Word never goes out of style. It never fails. It never grows stale. It is alive and breathing. If I'm not mistaken, AYC Friday night, I believe they live stream that service. Parents, if I were you, I very seldom do this, but if I were you, I would make that a must watch. We don't hear good preaching like we used to. And I'm not talking about fitting it together and intro and middle and drive the point home and a good illustration and then a strong closing. But there was a young man that came to Alabama and absolutely preached a masterpiece. Amen. I felt conviction and I think I'm in pretty good shape. And I left there feeling conviction. Convicting preaching is not popular today because it does not draw a crowd, but it will get you to heaven. Amen. Young people, that is exactly what you needed to hear, because contrary to what the world is telling you, there is a consequence for every action in your life. Amen. And sin always bears consequences. Praise God. One of these young people can tell you how to find that sermon. I would watch it. And I would watch it with a notepad and take some notes, because that was, I looked at Pam and I said, wow. Haven't heard one like that in a while. So today, I hope that I can reach someone and touch someone with this sermon, because I believe that God's word wants to speak to us and wants to drop a transformative word into us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask you to be with us today. God, anoint your word. Anoint your word. Anoint us to hear. Anoint me to speak. God, we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Thank you for standing. So good to see everyone here today. The sick list at Abundant Life Church has grown long again. So at the end of service, we will pray for some special needs. From the text that we read in Joshua chapter 2, we find a familiar story to a lot of us that have read the Bible or been around preaching very long. And when you look at the lady who was the subject of Joshua chapter 2, you will find that she was a member of the world's oldest profession. And I believe that her life was a study of contrast. On the one hand, she lived a life of shame and rebuke. And on the other, she was a source of coveted information. Many secrets had been whispered into her ear in moments of passion and forced intimacy. Perhaps she had entered the vicious vortex of cycles in life that we end up in situations that we never thought we would be in. But the whirlpool offers no escape, because it just seems like it is a cycle of completely and totally repeating cycle after cycle after cycle. Today, as I lay the groundwork for this sermon, I would like to give you this disclaimer: sin, when it is finished, never looks like it was in the beginning. Situations that are contrary to God's word might look good on the outside. They might clean up nice and they might make good stories, but in the end, it never ends the way we thought it would. Perhaps she regretted the stigma, the shame, but the exit out of her vocation seemed to get further and further away. We hear this often from sin. The money was good. It offered luxuries that would otherwise be unobtainable. And the money supported a lifestyle, and the lifestyle demanded the money, and the merry-go-round that had become her life never ended. Because sin always has you chasing the next dream. It is also interesting that the king of Jericho knew where to find the rumored spies who had come to his city. A lot of times we read God's word and we just read it at face value without studying it. But how in the world did the king know where to go to find the spies? Evidently, from the text, he went straight to the house of Rahab. They went to the place where the presence of two foreign men would not be an anomaly. They went to a place where all deals were shady, where gossip was in abundance, lies were generously mixed with truth, and sleazy behavior was excused if not expected. It's also interesting that the king of Jericho knew where to find the spies. It's also neat to find out that not only did he know where to find the spies or where the rumored spies were, but everything that he thought was borne out when this was absolutely found and recorded in Scripture. The men who had provided this location to the king and said perhaps these spies could be there, they would probably deny even having any knowledge of the location of this business. Amen. They would also deny even knowing what block it was on. But they knew. And we find in Scriptures that lying came fast and easily in the life of this lady. After all, turnaround was fair play. She had been lied to time after time, so when she saw an angle that would work to her advantage, she had no problem in exhorting it, because life had hardened her into a skilled negotiator and a ruthless deal maker. And she knew the men were Israelites and were interested in information, not entertainment. And according to the Scriptures, notice this, she knew they were coming on a mission of conquest. I preached one time, we need to hear what our enemy says about us. God had already spoken to some people in a foreign land, because it is amazing they knew what was coming before it arrived. Because God can speak to sinners as well as saints. Amen. And God can give warning to people other than those who serve Him if their heart is right or if they are sincere and genuinely looking for something. If you are looking for deliverance, you can be delivered. You've just got to be willing to find the plan of God and follow the plan of God, because deliverance might come from a very unlikely source. Amen. Or a very unlikely person might speak something into our lives that God has impressed with them, and we were looking for another source and missed what God was saying. According to the Scriptures, she knew that the God of Israel was not a God, but the God. And the God of Israel had already given the land to Israel, and the inhabitants of Jericho had heard of the Red Sea crossing and the defeat of the Amorites. And as these exploits were discovered and discussed, the will to fight and to resist was squashed flat. As a matter of fact, read Rahab's story, and it says, we knew you were coming, and we knew the God that sent you, and we heard of the exploits of your God, so before you got here, we had heard of a Red Sea crossing where a man of God stretched out a rod and the waters parted, and we had heard of the deliverance and everything your God had done for you, so we've been waiting on you, because if your God said Jericho belongs to you, then it belongs to Him. Today I am here to preach to you that if God has promised you something in your life, then you need to latch on to it and don't let go of it and keep pursuing it, because God cannot lie and God cannot fail. And if God has promised it to you, it will be done. It might be in a different location than you think. It might come from a different source than you think. But if God has promised it, God will give it to you. Just keep pursuing it. After all, there's no need in fighting if the result has already been established. No sense in wasting men on a battle that's already been decided. There's no sense in resisting if the result is not going to change. And as this story progresses, I believe that Rahab makes a decision. In a culture forged in the fires of negotiation, she broke the cardinal rule of negotiation. You never lead with your best offer first. That's the best way to kill a negotiation. She probably thought she had nothing to lose. After all, dead is dead. If the spies rejected her offer of life, she was dead because the inhabitants of Jericho were going to perish. She was in a profession where the clock was ticking rapidly toward the end of productivity. Age, diminishing beauty, hard, stressful life would lead her to an early retirement. So again, we find stories in the Bible where people really didn't have a whole lot of options and they chose the one that just might work. She found out that the Israelites served a God who valued life instead of death. He valued light instead of darkness, calm over chaos, and a future rather than a past. And the gods that the pagans served offered no such futures. So she struck the deal. The spies promised their lives for the lives of her family and for her. And then she aided in their escape, lowered them by a rope through the window and down the wall. And the exchange that night of a life for a life would send ripples through many generations to come in the future. Because sometimes God doesn't show us the full future. He just shows us a glimpse. And then it is up to us to choose whether to participate or not. Rahab the harlot had a choice to make, this or that. She could choose this and continue in her current lifestyle, knowing the facts and somewhat in control of her future. But it would certainly have an unpleasant ending. Or she could choose that and step into an uncertain future that came with a promise of hope and life. Today, I believe the enemy likes to present only one side of the story. He only shows you the good times, the great times, the unlimited future that he likes to present. But at the end of the day, God is the only one in control of a good future. Because the enemy's path always leads to a path of destruction. It always leads to a path of heartbreak. It always leads to a path of an uncertain ending. But the future that God offers is a future that is full of hope and promise. I've said it before, your situation might not change today, I don't know. But I can promise you one thing, if you will commit your life to God and commit yourself wholly to the kingdom of God, then your future will be better. If your situation doesn't improve tomorrow, God can give you the grace to get through another day. God can give you the grace and the faith to look forward to a future with Him that is going to be better. But if your life does change in an instant, and it can, you could see the results today. Fast forward to the New Testament, Hebrews 11 and 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. If we started in Joshua with the text and I read it again, and you not knowing the end result, how many people would think we would find this lady in the chapter of faith? And the reason she ended up in the annals of the heroes of the faith is because she believed in a God she did not know at the time. And she trusted enemies who others said could not be trusted. But I believe that she said in her heart, I believe this feels right. Because you cannot hide insincerity, and you cannot hide something that is fake. But when the power of God moves in your life, you will know that it is real. There is no denying the real thing. There is no denying the power of God. There is no denying when God actually moves. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And as we continue with the genealogy to the birth of Jesus Christ, we find out that there were some unlikely characters in his lineage. Rahab chose that. She left a life of shame to ultimately become a wife and a mother, and most amazingly, from Rahab would come the line of David and the greatest descendant, the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of all mankind. I am here to preach to you today, you have not gone too far, that you have outrun the calling of God. You have not gone too far that God cannot reach you, that God cannot see you, that God cannot still touch you. Amen. Rahab had a future instead of a past because broken people need hope. Right. Broken people in our world today, we can tell them how bad they are, and we all understand that we love the sinner and hate the sin. But they don't need to hear how bad they are, they already know. They don't need to hear how lost they are, they already know. What they need is a message of hope and a message that things can be different and a God who still cares and who is still concerned and still reaches for those who others have turned down. Being healed is good. But the scars and the cracks will remain even in times of healing. Being made whole involves transformation because it involves a new birth. It is as good as new. Wednesday night in our lesson that Brother Anthony taught, he taught on the new birth experience, and the reason we call it being born again is because there is nothing like it. That is the only way you can describe the experience. It's not just repeating words, and it's not just professing faith in a statement, but it is a genuine transformation where the Bible describes it as being born again. Amen. We had the privilege of being on grandmother and grandfather are, in our case, Grandma and Pop T duty this week. There is nothing like spending Valentine's with the one that you love with two grandbabies. And not having to go out and fight all the traffic, which the young people can and do. So when our children, our kids went out for their Valentine's Day, Pam and I stayed at the house and took care of newborns and Sophia. There is nothing like a newborn baby. There is nothing like the excitement of seeing a baby for the first time and knowing this is a blank canvas, this is a blank screen, this is a beginning, this is it. And I believe it is the same way when you commit yourself to Jesus Christ and you are born with His Spirit, and you speak in another language, and you're baptized in His name, welcome to the family, because it truly is a new birth experience. The Bible says, what I used to be, I am no longer, because I am a new creature in Christ. I have been born of the water and the Spirit. I have been made a new creature. I went into the baptistry tank a sinner, and I came out a saint. I went into the water not knowing exactly what my future was, but I came out of the water being born into a new family and knowing what my future held. Amen. Transformation, I believe, is the key. I debated whether to use my object lesson or not today, because I have infamously broken things during object lessons. Brother Braden, I believe, is the one that captured the image of the glass jar slipping from my hands. Hopefully, we can find that picture one day because we'll all laugh about it. But today, I debated and I said, well, I'll break one intentionally. Because sometimes you just got to see it to believe it. So today, I've brought an object lesson. And I promise you this did not come from the house, so don't get nervous. My wife will still have the same amount of coffee cups she had when we arrived at church today. And I decided that today I would be safe, so I brought a bag to put it in. But I'm not exactly sure what the floor will do to the cup, so I brought a hammer just in case. Because broken is broken. And I'm assuming this is probably a porcelain coffee cup. Hopefully someone after church does not Google something to discover that it was a priceless heirloom that I picked up at the thrift store. Not bad. But just to make sure. Now then, theoretically, I could glue the coffee cup back together. But also theoretically, it would always reveal that it had been broken. Because I have tried to glue stuff back together and been caught by my wife. Knock something off the counter and thinking, wow, Gorilla Glue, let's see how good it really is. And you put the Gorilla Glue on it and glue it back together, and it's never fails. She comes in a few weeks later and is like, when did you break the cookie jar? How'd you know it was broken? She said, you can't glue stuff back together. It will always show. And in the case of a coffee cup, it's probably not going to work anyway because once it gets hot, it's going to let go. And it's going to leak. And it's always going to show. This is the hope that the world will give you. You know what the devil says? Don't worry about today. It won't affect you in the future. It won't affect you. What I do only affects me, right? That's the big rumor. What I do only affects me. And the devil and the world will discard you and throw you away because you're no more use. And you can be glued back together, you can be pieced back together, and I believe there is always a path back. However, some actions have consequences, and some things will never look exactly right again. So I want to talk to you about two words and then I will wrap up. Healed means to become free from injury or disease, to return to a sound state. The cut has already healed. But I can say from experience that a severe cut or a serious cut, maybe even one that doesn't require stitches, has a tendency to leave a scar. And for the rest of your life, you can always point to and remember the trauma that happened with that one. So I'd like to bring another word to you. How about this one, whole? In an unbroken or undamaged state, in one piece. I have been healed, and I believe I have also been made whole. On July the 16th of last year, when I suffered my stroke, I believe that God not only healed me, I believe He made me whole. Because I have absolutely no symptoms, no lasting results, nothing that would lead you to believe that I had suffered a stroke on July the 16th. completely regained use of everything that I lost use of, as far as I know, and the doctors have stated everything is fine. There is absolutely no damage, no lasting effects. Go live your life. Everything is fine. So I believe not only was I healed, the effects of the stroke stopped, but I believe I was also made whole, where that I came out of that and I feel exactly like I did before. So I believe in healing, and I believe in wholeness. But there is something about wholeness that does something that something else cannot do. Because when you are made whole, the Bible says you are restored, you are renewed, you are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Paul said everything is new again, and there is no damage and no scars and nothing you can see when you are made whole. And today I have come to preach to you. You can leave here healed, or you can leave here made whole. You can leave here today and say, I think I can make it another day or two. I think that there's some way I can still survive. Or you can leave here today and say, I have been transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. I am going to not only put that behind me, but I'm walking out of here today, and there's not going to be any lingering scars, and there's not going to be any side effects, because I believe that God can heal you and can also make you whole. I believe that you can recover completely, that you don't have to bear the scars of something that happened in your past, and you don't have to keep trying time after time after time. I believe that you can be here, leave here today delivered and made whole like it never happened before, like it never occurred before, because God has the power to do that. Being healed is great. Yes. Being made whole is wonderful. Yes. Yes. And God can do that. Yes. Don't listen to what the world says. I realize that talk about God and we talk about eternity, we talk about futures. Sometimes that gets us tangled up because we're not built, first of all, to handle eternity. We can't comprehend, can't truly comprehend eternity. But when you talk about God and the things of God, I have to always default back to the point that God sees the past, the present, and the future all at one time. So I'm limited. Brother Hillstead, we can talk about the past, and that's fun. Glad that we can remember the past. There's some pleasant things in my past that I think about regularly. I also think it's neat that God has kind of built us where that the unpleasant memories seem to fade over time. They can still hurt. You still think about them. But I can honestly say that when my father passed away, all I could think about was, wow, I have to, you know, bear this the rest of my life. But as the passage of time, I can truly say that I remember the good times we shared a lot more than I remember the 3 days that he was in intensive care and ultimately passed away. I remember the good times. Brother Hillstead, I remember the squirrel hunts. I remember the canoe trips. I remember the Christmases and the Thanksgivings. I remember the times that we had together and the things that we shared together. I remember those, and those are still pleasant. Those are still memories that I cherish. Of course, we all see the present, but here's where we are limited. I can't tell you what's going to happen in the next 90 seconds with any certainty. I can guess. I could probably use some facts and come up with some numbers or some scenarios that might, you know, based on this is probably where we're going to end up. But you see, God sees the past, the present, the future all at one time. He's not looking. He just sees everything. So I hope I can convey this the way that I am feeling this. a tendency a lot of times in the kingdom of God, and I've struggled with this myself as a person who acknowledged my call to the ministry later in life, and then certainly started a church in my middle age, which most experts will tell you is too late. And I have struggled with, well, God, why didn't I acknowledge that sooner? Why didn't I feel that earlier? Why was it, you know, this year instead of that year? Why was I in my middle 40s instead of later? You know, and it's easy to ask God that. But one day I believe God impressed on me, my time is always the right time. So whether you were called young or old has absolutely no bearing on your calling. Because God can do more with a person who is willing in 10 years than he can with a person who is resistant for 25 years. And as we move through life, I believe that God shows us things based on where we are and what we can handle. Because God can't show us the future all at one time. We couldn't take it. So today I would challenge you. Don't look back over your life and say, man, I wasted that many years, or I wasted that many years, or I did this or I did that. Just look at your life and say, God, I was living my life according to what I thought was your will and I believed was your will. So I am going to trust you that you knew what you were doing. And whether you called me 5 years too late or too early in my mind, I believe in your timing, it was perfect. Because if we are truly abiding and living in the will of God, then we shouldn't question why I'm only here, why I'm only there. If I have truly committed my life to God and I truly believe that I am in the will of God, then I need to trust that He knows what is right for me at this particular time. Who knows? God might have put you here for such a time as this. And sometimes that journey from there to here seems to be more of a serpentine route instead of a straight route. But God knows what He's doing. So today we shouldn't look back and say, oh Lord, what happened? Why? We should look back and say, God, I thank you for everything that I've been through in my life. And I thank you for every time that I felt like you had abandoned me, but come to find out you were right there with me. I thank you for the trials. I thank you for the tests. I thank you for the things that caused me to grow. Because looking back on my life, I realized that some of the trials that at the time I couldn't understand, God knew exactly what He was doing because it was going to lead to a victory somewhere else. God, I believe, knows what He's doing. So if you are here today and you feel like, God, why am I here? I believe God can reveal that to you today. If you've got some things in your life that you feel like you've been broken and battered, I've got great news. God can make you whole. None of us really, truly will understand everything about our lives, I believe, until we get to heaven. And then it will be explained. And then we can ask God any question we want. Could we all stand together today? Do you want to be made whole? I believe that wholeness is here today. I believe that God can do that for us today. If you have a need in your life, our prayer ministers are here and they will pray for you. If you have something in your life that you feel like, God, I have got to have an answer, I believe He can answer today. If you've got a sickness in your life that needs to be healed, I believe God can do that. So while the praise team sings today, would you come at this time? Could we do that? Could we do that right now? we all gather around the front and say, God, I ask that you would touch. God, I ask that you would move. Could we do it right now? Could we do that right now? In the name of Jesus, God, I believe you right now. God, I believe you right now. I believe you right now. Did you find someone to pray with today? God, you've been faithful. God, you have been faithful. God, you have been faithful in my life. Do that right now.
With every breath that I am taking.
Hallelujah. I will sing of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. God, I believe you right now.
All my life you
In the name of Jesus, could we do that right now?